My sense of humour has got even worse recently because I spent the whole day with Heather today and she thought it was really funny that like we were both running and then I was running and she was running and then we'd bump into things and just say bump and that this was just the funniest thing in the world. And I just got really excited about bumping into things and started like jumping on the sofa and she was like she just couldn't breathe. It was so funny. And I feel like the most hilarious person in the world, but not for any good reason.
That's wonderful.
Just keep throwing jokes out. We'll see if one of them lands.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I usually do. They never do.
What else is she saying?
Oh,
What's her best
so
phrase?
much. A lot of colours at the moment. A few numbers. She'll kind of repeat anything you say back to you.
Daddy, back yogurt. There's quite a
Yeah.
lot of demanding we go to the kitchen and bring her food.
Yeah.
She said cauliflower
That.
the other day.
Oh, that's cute. Cauliflower. It's a big old word.
She said garlic bread the same day. It's really good. Oh, it was heartbreaking the other day. I thought she'd just about gone to sleep. I'd been going in and out of her room for a while, sort of settling her down. She'd gone a bit quiet. I thought, there we are, we're good now. I thought, just to make sure, I'll just put the baby monitor on so I can see. And she was standing up in her cot, facing towards the door, just going, cuddles, cuddles, cuddles. It was heartbreaking.
What about that film? Shall I open the meeting?
Yeah,
Oh,
let's
yes.
go.
Okay, I'm playing the music.
Great. Film,
Hello.
film,
The film. What was up with that film?
Yeah, film, eh? The Boy and the Heron. What did y'all think?
Great film.
Yeah, me too.
I
Oh,
don't know
great
where to
film. Good.
start.
What's your summary, Fernando? Do you like it?
Yes, I did like it. What is my summary? Well, a boy loses his mother in this probably the Second World War and is missing her and then gets this fantasy world where he realizes that maybe he was being too sad about her mother and he should realize that he now has other people in his life, and because of the things that he goes through on those fantasy worlds, he discovers that maybe he should be happy.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, that's deeper than I got into it. I was mostly confused. I thought it was great, but
Oh,
I had no idea why anything was happening most of the time. Was fun in its own way. Just I don't know, for some reason I just went with it. I suspended all my cynicism that I normally
Oh,
have,
great.
and it just yeah, it carried me through its madness. It was
I think I agree.
good. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel. I think it was really good. I think it was really good. I think it was really good. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna say I liked it. I definitely liked it.
Okay.
I don't think it was Princess Mononoke, which is obviously the standard of all films.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. No, I liked it. I don't know. Someone else talk.
Guess I should go. I liked it, but I didn't love it. I had some
Interesting.
trouble with it, real trouble with it. I didn't. There was a lot of stuff going on, and there was a lot that I didn't understand. And it's sometimes good when things are a bit open to interpretation, but that was there maybe too much?
Was
Just too much
everything open to
batshit nonsense going
interpretation?
up going on. Like, do I have to basically write the story myself because it's just all crazy stuff? But it was quite well done. This was a true classic Miyazaki when we're going back to some of his earlier films. This kind of just getting lost in a crazy fantasy world and not quite knowing what's going on or what's happening at the end. It gave us that. And in many ways, it was good. As Laura says, it wasn't Princess Mononoke.
Okay.
But it made me think a lot of thoughts. This is one of the more, this is probably the most notes I've ever taken for a film.
Wow.
Very, very dense sheet of notes here.
Whoa.
Well, can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, great.
Where should we start?
You always ask the person, isn't who chose the film, isn't why did they pick it, and why did you pick the film?
Good question.
Oh yeah, I love Studio Ghibli. I love Miyazaki. We've seen a lot of great. I've seen some great films from him, not least Princess Mononoke, but a load of other ones as well that I loved. And he's got a new one out, and it's maybe going to be the last film he ever does. And
what?
It was well reviewed, so that was good enough for me.
Is that because he's going to die?
This one, yeah.
I see.
We're all going to die.
It's because he keeps retiring. He's like Ronnie O'Sullivan. The Wind Rises was going to be his last film, and that came out in like 2011, and he's done two more films since then because he keeps saying, oh, like my grandson wanted me to make him a film, so I made an entire film or whatever. Yeah, he's just... I think he just likes making films, but he's like in his 80s now, and I think he has said that this was going to be his last film. But yeah, that's good enough for me. Miyazaki's got a new one out and people say it's good. But I was a little surprised by what we got, not least because the last one of his that I saw, The Wind Rises, was very straight and very sort of, this is something that really happened. And it was about people like in aircraft hangars talking about their feelings and stuff rather than, you know, people sort of sailing across a fake ocean made of light with a like dream version of their mum chased by thousands of human sized parakeets.
What do we think needs explaining? Maybe we could explain it all.
We've got the main question is he went to this amazing fantasy world. What was that? Was it a dream? Was it real? Was it the afterlife?
Real. Next.
Yeah, great. I think it can't possibly be real. I've got two columns.
It was a wizard, Michael.
Okay, it was a wizard, got you. I just happened to sort of coincide with all this stuff about his mum.
Okay, yeah, what's your two columns? Take us through it.
Well, I've got one says spirit world and one says all a dream. And I've got more stuff written under all a dream. So much of the stuff in the spirit world seemed to reflect stuff that was going on in his real life and relating to stuff he was worried about. We know that while he was unwell and he was in bed, that he was watched by these old grannies, and when he was asleep in the dream world, there were these tiny figurines of old people around his bed. Every major character he met seemed to be a stand-in for his mother. The whole theme of all of the dreams was all stuff about mother figures. And the whole adventure ended with him accepting his mother's death, and then he woke up. And it all centers around a huge stone. And the reason he is injured in bed is because he was hit in the head with a stone. And all of that the fact that it reflected it so well seemed like this is how he's processing all of this in his head. And that seems sort of satisfying.
Do you not remember in high school when they say, whatever you do in your like standard grade English rating assessment, don't finish with, it was all a dream?
Yeah, I think I do remember that piece of advice.
Doesn't apply once you're Miyazaki.
No. Well, not according to Michael.
Hmm.
I've got some pretty compelling arguments for it all happened.
Okay. I look forward to it. Right. So Michael's team dream. The dream theme.
Where's everyone else sitting?
I think it's a compelling interpretation.
You won me it with the rock. Nah, that's pretty
right.
Good.
Nah.
Yeah, that's done it. Convince me otherwise.
So Laura's going for magic is real, and he just happened to be staying at the house of a place where there was lots of magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fernando, are you part of the dream team or the, you know?
No, I mean, I believe all this also happened in the spirit world.
Yeah. Anything else to add to that, like this is where people's souls go after they die, or
nope?
Souls don't exist, Michael.
Well, we saw the proto souls, didn't we? The pre-birth souls.
Oh, the Wara Wara.
Yeah.
Classic Miyazaki.
Yeah, those are hilarious. Yeah, is that just the not physical world? Is that?
I mean, there was even Himi, mm-hmm. who literally said, "I'm going to go and be your mother in the next life."
Yes.
And like deposited him through this door with the implication that she was going to go through another door.
Yep.
And like be reborn into the real world. That this seems to point to kind of afterlife, right?
Well, I thought that was her returning to the moment she went into that world as a child.
Yes. Mm.
We did hear about that, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, they said
It will take him to.
Yeah, that was one.
What will take him to?
The rock. He'll get taken, they said at the start, when he tried to go exploring.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like she was taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So that would be a... But it did... Yeah, so the Wara Wara seemed like this was where people's souls come from. There was also the pelicans that were sort of trapped in this world that was terrible for them. One of them even described it as a hellscape. Like maybe they're demons that can't escape hell.
Or maybe they are bad people. They're election deniers who are. Mm-hmm.
Maybe so. Hell. Yeah.
No, they're just pelicans.
They're literally just pelicans, yeah.
The grand wizard likes birds. He brought all the birds to the world that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, bong.
I think the reason I'm so desperate for this world to have some other meaning is because otherwise it's just the writer just said, oh, how about there's this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to put on the screen for 2 hours? And then he did it, and then that's the end. It feels like it should mean something more.
Sometimes a chair is just a chair.
Yeah.
Sometimes a parakeet is just a parakeet.
I mean, maybe this all comes down to I've got three possible interpretations here, right? It's all in his head, and it's
Okay, we can
a representation of his real life. Or it's the spirit world that's like the afterlife, it's where souls come from. Or it's just a fucking weird place where stuff happens. And I've actually got three films/books written down here that I'm just realizing now basically represent those three options. Does anyone know what three films this film made me think of?
Sorry, can you say what the three options were again?
So one is, it's all a dream, it's in his head, and it's his way of exploring the world around him.
Mm-hmm.
One is, it's like heaven, hell, afterlife. And the other one is, it's just some crazy stuff that's happening. It's just a magic place that he goes to.
Big Fish.
Oh, I like it. Not Big Fish.
The Divine Comedy.
I like The Divine Comedy. No.
The TV show Lost.
No, I haven't seen that. What did you think, Claire?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no. Closest one so far.
Mm. Rude.
Sorry. So I've got Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
I think that's one possible interpretation, that there isn't really any deep meaning behind all of this stuff. It's just a flight of fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a magical world he goes to.
Yeah.
But I've got a god one, and I've got a small child trying to make sense of the horrors of the world around them one.
The Babadook.
Oh.
Not the Babadook. I haven't seen that. Okay. Although which has
a manifestation of grief. So
right. Okay. Yes.
In my defense.
Is it Life is Beautiful?
No.
Oh, the Bicycle Thief.
No.
Bicycle Thieves. They won!
That just happened though, didn't it?
What just happened?
That wasn't a dream or whatever.
Oh, right. Sorry. Thinking about those.
So, I mean, there's no way you'll just guess these from what I've said, probably. I put Pan's Labyrinth. This made me think of Pan's Labyrinth a lot. Anyone else?
I see it. I didn't think of it, but...
Yeah, in some ways. I've got a list of other things it made me think of. but I didn't.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I've got Pan's Labyrinth because that was set in a dreadful war and this girl had suffered a loss and was having trouble dealing with the horrors of war around her and kind of invented this fantasy with corresponding scary things going on in it. And the other one I've got is Narnia.
Oh. Right, yes.
Nothing else to say.
Mm-hmm.
But what were you? What did you guys think of?
One of them was a book. I'm not sure if any of you have read it. It was called The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
No.
It was a Neil Gaiman book. It was really, it was just a short story.
Okay.
But yeah, it was someone returning home and it was, yeah, dealing with loss, and it was all very fantastic and like clearly none of it had actually happened, but was obviously some way of processing things. So yeah, I had that. The fish reminded me, when they caught the fish and tied it to the side of the boat, it reminded me of Hemingway, like the old Man in the Sea.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Also, it reminded me of Lock and Key and House of Anubis.
Yes.
Just like that childish magic house does magic things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at least House of Anubis knew it was for stupid children.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the only ones I had. Nothing deep.
Yeah.
Stupid house for stupid children. And weird, fantastic experience as a way to deal with loss.
Great.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Any other suggestions?
Didn't remind me of anything.
Ah.
I think I just sat down, watched this film, didn't think about anything, and then came here.
Did you finish it 10 minutes ago?
No, I actually finished it. Oh, no, I did finish it today, but I watched it the worst way possible. I watched it in like three goes.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I know. So I finished most of it.
Maybe that's Wednesday, fine.
And then I you know, sat down, did the rest, the last 20 minutes today.
Yeah.
What a great last 20 minutes, though.
I think we should go back to having intermissions in the films, because previously films were like 90 minutes and we had intermissions, and now films are like 3 hours long and there's no intermission. So we got something wrong. We should have intermissions now.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd bring back intermissions.
I think it doesn't matter that the symbols are almost arbitrary. It had a theme. The theme was birds, and the birds symbolized something.
Right.
We just got to figure out what that was.
Well, they sort of, they all seem to symbolize different things, right? Oh, go on.
I'm so sorry.
No, I was just asking, why was there a person inside of her? Or why?
Yeah.
The heron was sort of his disguise, wasn't he? It seemed to be that he was the heron, but he sort of looked like this in the one world and the other thing. In the other world, he could sort of make himself into a pure heron, or he could be this heron guy running around.
I have to say, when I because I didn't know anything about it, and I thought it was going to be a beautiful story. When it first started, I thought it was going to be a beautiful story about a boy bonding with a heron. And then that horrible man came out of it. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, and it turned out herons and pelicans are all bastards.
And parakeets.
And parakeets. Parakeets, that was weird. Were they kind of a parody of Imperial Japan? This sort of very militaristic, self-obsessed thing.
And the whole crux was about how do you smash the cycle of imperialism? Because the grand uncle wants Mahito
to be sort of the next emperor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he thinks you can be a more benevolent emperor. You can do it how you want. But Mahito says, no, smash the whole thing to pieces.
Yeah.
Anarchy.
And yet we don't think that that whole world stops existing, right? Or do we?
No, it does.
Yes.
Oh, we think that's the conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, did the tower fall down?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. And yeah, it was revealed to be a pretty horrible world, right?
Yes.
With a lot of people just trying to survive and a lot of pain and suffering and stuff.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how that ending sort of ties in with it being a dream that represents things. Maybe it doesn't. Oh, except that he gets better and learns to accept the loss of his mother.
Yeah. Well, he gets to say goodbye to her.
Mm.
Yeah. And then after that, the need to sort of dwell on things like the fire and the rock are sort of not so important anymore.
Yeah, he learns that perhaps forgetting and letting go of things is, I don't know.
Does he ask Himi to come with him?
Yes.
Because that would have created, if there's any reality in that, that would have created a paradox. He couldn't exist if his mom hadn't gone back to where she was.
That's right. She says that to him, though. She says, I can't go with you. I have to go into the next door so that I can be your mother.
Yeah. Okay. That's a weird thing to dream. I mean, it's all weird, but that's a subtle thing to dream as part of that.
Yeah.
It was real. How come when he's in the magic world, the heron is this weird Danny DeVito character, but the parakeets from the real world are just cartoon parakeets? What's the difference between herons and parakeets, that one is a human and the other one's just inaccurate birds?
I think he wasn't a heron.
He wasn't a heron.
I think his true self was a weird little bird man.
Right.
Whereas the parakeets were brought to that world by the wizard guy.
Right. Okay.
I think it was unclear.
Is that all herons are actually wee men?
No, we didn't see any other herons. They did talk about how herons are all liars.
Yes.
Implying there are more herons.
And that they're not what they seem to be.
Yeah.
So No. They said all herons are liars and there could be just one heron.
Mm.
Hence, they can know that all herons are liars because there's just one heron. Who is a liar?
That's good. Yeah.
All heron is liar. Yeah, okay. No, because he says, I knew a heron once and he said all herons are liars. Is that true? Or can... Yeah. There's at least one other heron.
There you go.
Mm.
A lot to unpack.
Do herons eat ducklings?
Yeah.
Probably, given the chance.
Mm.
They eat frogs anyway.
Yeah, they certainly do.
They certainly do.
And they're terrifying. They're dinosaur
birds. They're scary looking birds, aren't they? Yeah. Mm.
You ever seen a picture of a heron up close? It's horrible.
They're quite beautiful in their own way, but it's do you know, I'd never heard one of them call before, but we watched this film two nights ago, and yesterday there was one swooped low, like over the road as I was walking along, and let out this massive cry, and it was this terrifying sound. It's funny that it happened just after I watched the film.
Cool.
Are you sure it was a heron and not a man?
I can't be certain. I will say it looked like a heron.
Well, if you bash your head in a rock tomorrow, I'll wonder.
Yeah. Why did he bash his head on the rock?
He was not liking being bullied at school and he did not want to go back to school.
Yeah, so it's to injure himself to get out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I know we hate to say what the director said.
I don't hate that. I think that's fascinating.
Michael always hates that.
Do I hate that?
Yeah. You've hated it at least once.
Oh, I guess I hate it.
Was it Pink Narcissus or something like that, where you were like, well, you know, you could make a film about anything, and then afterwards you say, oh, it was about this.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I think if there's something that's like legitimately, it's not quite clear, and discovering what they thought is sort of interesting. It's when it's sort of on the level of Dumbledore is gay, when it's like, well, you didn't really put that in the thing, did you? You're just saying that afterwards. I'm fascinated to hear.
I only know one tiny thing, but basically he said there was like an Oedipal thread running through it.
I was thinking about that, and I thought probably I was on the wrong track in the end. But that's interesting.
Which I think, if we're reading it that way, the Mahito is struggling with his feelings for his new mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, we see his shock when she puts his hand on her stomach. Yeah. I thought that was a weird moment to dwell on. And then he's in this house and he doesn't know what to do with himself. And, you know, she's got the new baby, his dad. He watches them kiss and then sneaks back into his room. And I don't know. He doesn't understand it himself, but he bashes himself on the head with a rock to be place himself further into her care. And the whole film is about him learning to accept that she is his proper mother figure.
Is that not how Oedipus's father died? Bashed his head on a rock.
Really?
Yeah, Oedipus was travelling to Thebes or wherever, and his father attacked him, or there was something at the place where four roads meet, and I'm sure he sort of pushes him. He tries to get on his carriage and he pushes him and he bashes his head on a rock.
Okay. The reason I thought of a sort of Oedipal thread was from when he met Hemi.
Yes. Yeah.
In the dream, who is a girl his age.
Yeah.
And that I think putting it in the context of other Miyazaki films, there's often a sort of young couple that go on this adventure together and they don't quite say these two love each other and they're going to get married or whatever, but they sacrifice things for each other and they hold hands and they just rescue each other at the last second and they become very close friends. And that seems to be what was happening with Hemi. But then it sort of rode back from that towards the end. It's particularly beautiful in Castle in the Sky. That's a really good film for that thing happening. It's very, very sweet sort of innocent romance. There's one in Princess Mononoke, of course.
Mm.
So it seemed like that was what he was doing again, and then until the end when that didn't quite happen.
Well, I think the point is the growth. So he's growing out of that sort of adolescent trappings.
Mm.
And everything falls into its right place and he's That's got the good. Right relationships.
That's good. I didn't see him having that thing with his sort of mother-in-law, who was his aunt, we think? Natsuko? Yes. Yeah.
So that was the other thing. He said that she's the spitting image of his mother at one point.
Yeah. But yeah, she... I was trying to work out what the timeline was. Was she pregnant with his dad's baby?
Yes.
Yeah, because his mother died in 1942, and this stuff was happening the following year. So they didn't wait around long. I wonder if his dad was already having an affair with Natsuko.
Oh, right.
I wonder if his father intentionally got Mahito's mother killed in a fire.
Jesus.
Set fire to a hospital because he...
Well, he was like some kind of arms guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Aeroplanes.
He was definitely a flawed character. I don't know if he was burn a hospital down kind of guy, but
he's driving his son to school in a fancy car on the first day, sort of guy. I wouldn't put burning a hospital past someone who's willing to do that. Don't know which is worse.
Tricky. Mm. Take us through some more notes.
I'm just looking at them, and that's most of what I have to say. It's mostly minor notes after that. I've got a big like web of characters in the middle, and then I've got my two columns for is it a dream or is it the spirit world? I've said everything in that. The rest is a bit of a few things just that I noticed. A very striking opening, which it opens with the Studio Ghibli logo, which is My Neighbor Totoro, a very sort of cute character from a cute kids film. And then that fades out, and then it's air raid sirens, which was quite striking. And then from the air raid sirens, it's immediately people like banging these traditional gongs as sort of fire alarms. And he did the same thing in The Wind Rises, sort of immediately drawing attention to this juxtaposition of a sort of 20th century war compared to a very, like an almost medieval Japanese society. We got a lot of that in The Wind Rises, and it seemed like not quite an accident that he decided to throw that in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What else have we got?
I thought it was going to be like devastating, to be honest. When it opened and his mum died, I was like, oh God, how sad is this going to be? It's just going to be grief the whole way through. Yeah. And then it just went mental and I was much happier.
The other concern being, I don't know if you've seen one of the earliest Studio Ghibli films, which is called The Grave of the Fireflies.
I've heard a lot about it.
It's pretty devastating.
I'm not watching that.
Second World War drama. I highly recommend it. It was a great film, but it was not an easy watch. Mm. And it wasn't a delightful flight of fancy, I must say. The early scenes make a big impression on me. They felt very real. True to life somehow.
I found those ones a little bit boring, I must say. Bold choice to meet your new, your stepson and be like, I'm your new mum.
Yeah. no one would dream of doing that now, would they?
No.
But maybe there was more of that back then. I'm thinking about The Sound of Music, where he tells all the children that they're going to have a new mother and introduces them to the Baroness.
True.
I
think in some cultures it's really common for the husband to marry the wife's sister if the wife dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That features in the Bible, doesn't it?
Really?
Yeah. In the Old Testament.
Well, so, sort of makes sense somehow. I guess part of it is to do with it's quite major social stuff from uniting the two families, right?
Yeah.
So you sort of go ahead with it and say, well, let's keep the two families united.
Is that not how Prince King Henry VIII ended up married to his first wife? Was she not married to his brother Arthur first?
Oh, that rings a bell.
Yes.
Yes, and he was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the legal reasons he said that he ought to be divorced from her was because it was a sin to lie with your brother's wife or something.
Right.
Yeah, it was only fine that they got married because they hadn't consummated the first marriage. But then he also, I think, said that they had when he wanted to divorce her.
Yes, that was it.
But that does ring a bell that he started arguing that it was incest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just sort of said whatever he had to say, didn't he?
Anyway, I'm sure I have a lot more thoughts about the boy and the heron.
I've got two more little notes. One is the last scene was very abrupt, a little unsatisfying.
Agree.
Just said like, oh, and then 4 years later, they left the house and went back to Tokyo.
I couldn't see
him leaving the house.
Could not see the point of that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Maybe it did have some...
It felt like it was therefore based on that they were doing it like it was a true story.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was based on something or other, but I don't know what. And the last thing is that the Warawara were cute. I like them.
They were.
Most of your notes are just a picture of the Warawara.
I don't normally draw a picture, but I thought I could draw one of them because they're quite simple. So I drew a little Warawara.
Oh. That's nice. But also, those pelicans have to eat.
Yeah, you know, it's a circle of life. Some souls just need to get eaten by demons.
Yeah. Did anyone listen to the English dub?
No.
No.
With Christian Bale.
Christian Bale was terrible. I didn't listen to it for most of it, but I flipped it back and forth a little bit, just for like 5 minutes at a time. And it was Willem Dafoe was the pelican who died.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's cool.
And Robert Pattinson was the heron man.
No.
Oh, he did a great job. He was doing a very silly voice, but so he couldn't tell. He couldn't have told it was him.
Can't believe it wasn't Danny DeVito.
I know.
It should have got him.
I have a question.
Okay.
And it's, why was the house like a Western-style house?
Actually, I've got this written down, Eastern versus Western houses.
I found it very jarring as he moved. And
yeah, the big sort of shared house was classic Japanese style, but the little apartment he was living in was Western, wasn't it?
What?
Or the sort of annex nearby. He was in a Western house, wasn't he?
He was living in a Western house. It wasn't small, though. Yeah. It was a big...
Sorry, no, it wasn't. But it wasn't as big as the other... Like, his residence was Western style, but the sort of main bit that they all did stuff in was Japanese. I didn't know why that was, except maybe just that Japan was like that at that time.
Yeah.
Even now there's a there's a proper word for it. We learned it at some point. In Japanese, if you go to like a hotel, a lot of them will say, like, do you want a this kind of room or a that kind of room? And one of them's a sort of Western one with a proper bed and furniture and everything. And the other one's the sort of Eastern style where you, with like a futon and everything's minimal and goes away. And bamboo dividers and stuff. But yeah, I wasn't sure if it was meant to mean something, not least because then we then saw the tower as well that was sort of neither one of those.
Yeah. I was expecting the uncle to be Western and sort of married in, but that turned out to be completely unfounded on all fronts.
I see.
Yeah, I just couldn't work out why. Because it just seemed, it was very jarring for something that, oh, that's just the way it is.
Yes.
And it was certainly like the tiles were worn and stuff that it could have been from his great uncle's generation. I don't know. I want that to be something. I just can't work out what it is. I like the subtlety of showing us that, there could be something in this. The little boy was recovering. So there was one scene where he couldn't open the window without help. And then a while later, when he woke, having passed out for ages, he could open the window. He opened it on his own.
Ooh.
Maybe that leans towards the dream.
Oh, was that his dream when he can open it?
Yeah, because we know that in the real world he can't. Either that, or we know that enough time's passed that he now can, or something. Yeah. I need to rewatch.
I see.
I thought that was a very subtle bit of storytelling. I just don't know what story it told. It's too subtle.
Do you know, that's a description of the whole film. You hit the nail on the head. And that's my slight problem with it. I did enjoy watching the film, but it was that way that, like, the first half an hour to 1 hour, I was thinking, this is just astounding, just brilliant, because I thought it was building to something. And it was just kind of mad right to the end, and that was it.
Yeah, so you saw the teeth and the heron when it came to the window.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, this is something weird. This is just going to go weird.
I have to say, it really took off for me when things start going weird.
Okay.
I was a lot more interested when we got to that bird kingdom. Yeah, this is good stuff. I love the parakeets. I love them with their little knives trying to eat people.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
It was really weird, though. And didn't make any sense, which was a shame.
I mean, does it have to make sense? What is sense?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the approach they were going for. It was just some crazy stuff on the screen to have a look at, to some extent. And that was good.
I mean, maybe, because it was birds. It was about flying and repression and the need to fly. So that torment between will and structure. It was about structure versus agency, I think.
Wow.
Oh.
So there you go. That's why it was parakeets.
Wait, what did you just say?
It's not my fault you weren't listening, Michael.
No, you said it's about structure versus agency and that's why it was parakeets. You need to explain more than that.
I don't think so.
I don't think I do.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I said it was about flight.
About flight. Like, they weren't flying when they were part of the army.
No, they could. Oh, did they not fly?
Or did they?
I don't know.
But it was about structure and agency. What's agency?
Will. To intention and will. The ability to act of your own accord and make decisions.
Yeah.
Affect things.
And the parakeets were doing that?
No. They were the structure.
Ah.
Can't believe you needed that experience.
But the herons were agency.
Look, don't, much like Miyazaki, stop trying to fucking untangle me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've got nothing. I have no idea why it was parakeets, why it was pelicans. But
it did look good, though, didn't it?
It looked great.
It was entertaining.
Very much so. I mean, I guess we should try and why don't we interrogate everything? Why was it boars and wolves and big weird tree gods?
Yeah, it's on an okay.
Oak, you know? So it's in a woods. Has to be true.
And they were in a bird world.
Yeah, okay. Why a bird world?
Yeah, why bird?
It's a flight. What flight represents. It represents agency.
Flight is something to do
struggle
with
against structure. And the whole thing was a metaphor for imperialism and breaking the shackles of imperialism.
It's definitely something to do with imperialism, wasn't that?
He felt like he couldn't get to his mum because he had to run. He was constrained. If he could have flown, he could have maybe got to her. Maybe the birds are part of that desire to save his mum.
Interesting. Mm. Well, it's interesting that the parakeets don't fly, but then when they get out of that world, when the imperialism has been shattered, they turn back into their true selves and fly.
Yeah, that's nice. Definitely all the birds in the bird world were kind of fucked up and horrible, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think I can say how this film related to Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of style over substance.
War.
Open to interpretation, but not always in a way that was truly satisfying.
Maybe we're just not smart enough to get it, though.
I think there's something going on there.
I am pretty stupid.
Sorry, no, you're not.
Thank you.
Great soundtrack, though. I think for me, the soundtrack is even better than Princess Mononoke. I think it's the best soundtrack we've ever listened to in Film Club.
Wow.
I was constantly just so taken by the soundtrack.
I didn't it was so beautiful. Really notice it so much.
Oh, that's the only thing I was really paying attention to. And really beautiful flowers, forest worlds, backdrops, paintings. I liked it when they were in that beautiful sunset. Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, fair enough. It was definitely lavish and beautifully made. They've still got that sort of attention to detail and just love of filmmaking, which is, great to see.
I'm done.
Yeah, any other thoughts from anyone?
I have one other note that confirms something you've told me about Japanese culture, Michael, which is that they don't say good luck, they say do your best. And that happened.
Oh, that's good. Thought,
that's a thing. So I wrote it down.
Excellent.
And I like that. That's why it's stuck with me. I think that's a much better way to send someone off to do something that's important or difficult.
Yeah, that is nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's a nice note to finish.
That is good.
We did our best to interpret this film.
I feel like I wish I'd written down every moment that confused me so that we could talk about it and try and explain it, but I didn't.
I'd like to rewatch it now with the rest of the film in my head as context. I think it might make more sense in a second watching.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we should do it.
Yeah.
Should we meet again once we all have rewatched the film?
Should I pick up my film?
Yes.
It's never been done before. But it's not a particular rule.
I didn't threaten that I was going to pick the 2002 Count of Monte Cristo again.
Thank you for not doing that.
No. I can see you're trying to lead me. Preemptive thanking.
If I thank you, you can't do it. Should we wrap up there then?
Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Nope.
Right. Closing the meeting.
Yes.
Oops. Sorry, that was actually the second half because I forgot to put it back to the start.
I think it works.
Yeah.